Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, a solemn word, a very clear word tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you will be pleased to write it upon our hearts. Lord, may we glean truths and principles, Lord, that will set us aright. May the unsaved realize that the answer to their great need is in Christ and in the word that he has given. And may God's people realize that the answer to the fear of God and the answer to holiness and the answer to obedience is also found in the word of God. Help us to hear tonight, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. Bless our hearts, we pray. Really encourage the people of God tonight. And please, O Lord, we pray, speak to hearts not yet saved. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit, and give me a word that will bring glory to thy name. And for the extension of thy kingdom, we pray these things. Amen and amen. When a preacher comes before a congregation to bring a message from the Lord, it must be a word from the Lord. It must be from the word of God. For example, Jeremiah, when he spoke to the people there, said in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, thus saith the Lord. Whenever Moses and Aaron went in before Pharaoh, who were they really in the land to be telling Pharaoh what he could or could not do? And he comes and he makes this statement, thus saith the Lord. And really, when a preacher comes to a pulpit, we must say the words of God. We must declare or deliver the words of God. It can't be our own message. It can't be something that we just think is appropriate, but must be a word from the Lord and the word from the Lord. Whenever it's God's word and whenever it comes from the Lord, then we've the authority to stand before a congregation and say, thus saith the Lord. Who am I that I should stand before you and tell you how you ought to live your life? I'm nobody. That's not my job. But my job is to come and to say, thus saith the Lord. I'm simply a messenger and a signpost pointing you to the word of God. And it's only by the word of God that man can be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's the word of God that contains the answer to our greatest need. Sometimes a preacher is accused of being insensitive because they maybe speak very harshly against the sinner, and yet the reality is they're simply quoting the word of God and what God declares about the sinner. And what I simply want to do tonight is bring before you God's description of the sinner. This is not what I think. What I think has no bearing on your soul, but what God declares has a great bearing. And therefore tonight I simply want to turn to a few verses of scripture and show you God's description of the sinner. The first thing I want you to notice is what God says about the heart of the sinner. And verse number 9 of this chapter, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The word deceitful there has actually the thought of not being straight. It isn't really what it appears to be. And you know when someone's trying to walk in a straight line and then they start to stumble and they go the wrong way. And the reality is, if you're walking in one direction and you're not walking on the straight line and you're not walking in the right way, and you maybe just are off by a little degree, if you walk far enough, you're going to be far, far, far away from where you ought to be. And the word of God tells us that we are born as sinners. We are born in sin. We're born estranged from God, and we have a deceitful heart. We can cause ourselves to believe things that are not true. We can cause ourselves to start to believe things that have no scriptural basis. How do I know that? Well, there's some people today, and they will say, well, you know, the Lord loves everyone, no matter what they do, no matter who they are, and no matter what type of lifestyle they choose to live. Well, the Word of God tells me that God loved the world and so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to save them from their sin. And there's nowhere in Scripture that we speak or we see God smiling upon the sins, whether they be of the unsaved or of the Christian. We see that God is angry with sin and with sinners. God is grieved by sin. And we find that whenever we read through Scripture, that there is nothing of the Lord's smile upon the wicked actions, whether of a Christian or an unsaved person. But such is the deceitfulness of the heart of man. That sounds good. That pleases me. And therefore, I'm going to believe that. That must be who God is. For when we dare not listen to our hearts, we need to come to the Word of God and see exactly what the Bible says. It also says here the heart is desperately wicked. And I don't need to go outside of this building tonight to tell you about the wickedness of the heart. You think about the thoughts that you've had this week. Now, you may not have been in wicked places of the world, but you may have thought about them. You may not have said unwholesome words, but you may have thought them. You may not have actually gone and fought against someone, but you may have hated them with your heart. And friend, the heart is wicked. It is deceitful. The heart is filled with sin. And we need to acknowledge this because the Word of God asks the question, who can know it? Who can know it? There's only one who can truly know our hearts, and that's the Lord. You see, if we look into our hearts, we excuse sin. We overlook sin. We find some reason to explain away certain parts of our character, our attitude, our thinking, our behavior. But the Lord says this, I, the Lord, search the heart. I wonder tonight, as your heart is searched by God, what does he see? What does he see? In Mark chapter 7, we read a description of the heart. And if there's any pride in our hearts, this really ought to humble us. Because in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, it says, and Christ said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And I know sometimes people say, well, if someone maybe is a very open sinner or someone maybe falls into great sin, they'll say, oh, but look at the environment they grew up in and look what they were exposed to and look at all of those things. But friend, we must be honest and say that the problem is not society. The problem is not those around us. The problem is within. The problem is my heart. The problem is your heart. Remember that Cain, in the opening chapters of Genesis, grew up in a world without pubs, without nightclubs, without drugs, without evil literature, without worldly music, and he turned out to be a murderer. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And here the Lord is searching, and he looks in the heart, and he sees the heart. And you might say, but, you know, the Lord wouldn't look at all of my life and look at every aspect of my life. He only looks at the life of sinners or the heart of sinners. No, the Lord searches every single heart. And it's interesting to note, in the very first verse of this chapter, it says, the sin of Judah is written with the pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart. Now, iron is a very strong metal. Diamond is thought to be one of the hardest things in the world, one of the hardest things that you can have. And certainly if something is engraved by a diamond on a pen of iron, it's there to stay. And friend, the reality is, as the Lord looks upon your heart, he sees a record of your sin. If you're not saved, the Lord sees that there's nothing that you can do to erase that record. There's nothing that you can do to cover that record of sin. Only the work of Calvary and only the Lord can cover and deal with your wicked heart of sin. So what lessons can we learn from the fact that we have a heart that is deceitful, desperately wicked, which the Lord is searching even tonight? Well, first of all, no man can trust himself or no woman can trust herself when considering our hearts. We need to come to the mirror of God's word and see who we truly are and what we truly are tonight. But also this, no man can trust another man or another woman with regard to spiritual matters. That's why we need the word of the Lord. Do you know there are some people tonight and they are depending upon what a preacher tells them? And I'm talking about things the preacher is saying outside of the word of God. If you're a church member, you're sure of heaven. If you're baptized, you're sure of heaven. If you're a good giver, you're sure of heaven. If you're a good person, you're sure of heaven. And friend, they're depending on what man has said, but that's not the word of God. Some people are depending on a priest tonight to make some type of offering for their sin. And we can't depend upon the word of man. We must come to the word of God. And every preacher must be able to back up with book, chapter, and verse what he is saying. Otherwise, it is not of the Lord. Also, a lesson we ought to learn, Christians should pray that they will not deceive themselves in their behavior, in their speech, or in their attitude. You see, sometimes, even in the heart of the believer, the old nature comes to the fore. And we maybe get a bitter attitude, or we maybe get a wrong attitude, or a selfish attitude. And you know what? We start to justify it. Our bad behavior, we justify it because you know what? Well, look at that other person. They deserve my bad attitude. They deserve the way I speak to them. They deserve the way I look at them. And you know, that can start to get into our hearts. Oh, may the Lord help us not to deceive our hearts, but to do what is commanded at the end of Psalm 139. To take that prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And friend, if you're honest, the Lord will show you those things that are wrong. But isn't that wonderful that we can get them under the blood? And no victory over them. You see, the heart needs to be cleansed and the individual needs to be saved. But secondly, we've looked at the heart of the sinner. Let's look at the heritage of the sinner. If you turn with me to John chapter 8, it tells us here about the heritage of the sinner. Where does the sinner come from? And here we are in verse number 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And here we have the heritage of the sinner seen in the descriptions of the devil in the Bible. And some people say, but that's too far, preacher. How dare you say that someone is like the devil? How dare you say that someone is of the devil? Remember, I'm a messenger. This is the word of God. This is the book by which we will all be judged. And here we see that the devil is described, firstly, as a murderer, a destroyer of things. We know he's a destroyer of life. Man was not created to die. Man was created to live, but because sin entered into the world, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why did death come into the world? Because, and how did sin come into the world? Because the devil introduced it. So he destroyed that plan of man's life being eternal. He introduced death into creation. And not only that, but he destroys the lives that God gives into this world. Every single little one born and held in a mother or father's arms is a gift from God. But that life is marked by sin and destroyed by sin. And often the devil delights to take that life, and even young in life, in their teenage years, in their formative years, get those desires and those lusts in their heart to get into the world and immorality, and to get into the alcohol and into the drugs and into loose living. What's happened? The life's destroyed. And often a home is destroyed. Sometimes minds are even destroyed because of the sin that they experience, that they can't cope with. Sometimes friendships are destroyed because the sinner lives just like their father, the devil, destroying all around them. And friendships and relationships are broken and destroyed. Not only this, we see that the devil is called a liar. You know, one of the very, very first things that the devil says in Scripture, "Hath God said?" Did he really say that? Did he really mean that? And he caused man to doubt the word of the Lord. And I'll tell you, you speak to most unsaved people, and they will say exactly what the devil said in the Garden of Eden. "Hath God said? Oh, does God really mean that? Oh, it couldn't be. No, that's not what God meant at all. He maybe said that, but he means this." And what are they doing? They're walking in the footsteps of their father, the devil, doubting and denying the word of God, claiming that God is a liar, but in reality lying to themselves. Lying to themselves. They argue against truth. They would sooner believe the lies of the wicked than the teachings of God's people. And how sad that they would seek to spread and teach lies to children. And we've homes today in Northern Ireland and throughout this world that children are being taught by parents who maybe grew up in a Sunday school, maybe grew up in a church. Oh, don't worry about that. That's not important. And we're seeing the consequences of that in our society. And sadly today, there's a push on. We've prayed about it already in our opening prayer. Even in the midst of the pandemic, there's a push on by wicked people to push and promote immorality among the children of our nation. Why? Because they love darkness rather than light. Not only is he a murderer, not only is he a liar, but we know that Scripture tells us in the book of Ezekiel that the devil fell. And pride is something that marks his life. And friend, that marks the life of the unsaved. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and say, "I don't need to be saved. What a pile of nonsense. I'd be all right." And friend, that's pride. Because the reality is, the devil wanted to be like God, in charge of his own destiny. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be in full control. And that's exactly what the sinner desires. And that sometimes is the biggest hindrance of a man or a woman or a young person coming to Christ. "But I don't want to give over control of my life to another. I want to be in charge. I want to be the one calling the shots." But the reality is, the Christian can truly say, "I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve the risen King." And the devil will not obey God. He will not submit and he will not surrender. And friend, that's the bottom line. If you're listening to my voice tonight, you're watching online, if you're in this gathering tonight, the bottom line is this: you will not submit, surrender, or obey God. There's no desire to change your way. There is no desire to repent of your sin. There's no desire to trust God. And you know what's happening. You're following in the footsteps of your father, the devil. That's your heritage. What lessons can we learn from this heritage? Well, your heritage places you on the road that leads to hell. Friend, you're living with the heritage of hell. That's where you're going if you're not saved. It also teaches me this. This is another lesson here from the heritage of the sinner. Parents, where are you leading your children? Where are you leading your children? You can't save your children. We know that. No man can save another man. But they can have a godly heritage. And what a privilege that is to have a godly heritage. And I want to say this, only the Lord can give you a new heritage. Only the Lord can change the direction you're traveling in. Only the Lord can give you a whole new identity. And praise God, your heritage will no longer be of the devil and of hell. But praise the Lord, this is what the Lord says for his people. "I go to prepare a place for you." And there's a place being prepared by the Lord for his people. "And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And then you know what he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Dear believer, there's nothing for you to fear tonight. If you're saved, then you belong to the Lord. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. And yes, we'll fail, and yes, we'll make mistakes. But praise God, he will never cast us off, because we are eternally secure. We've thought about the heart. We've thought about the heritage. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we see the hold upon the sinner. The hold upon the sinner. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. It says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So not only is there a heart problem, not only is there a heritage problem, but there's a problem here with the hold, because you do not have control over your life center. You're under a spirit. You're under the authority and the influence of the devil. And the devil has great power over the sinner. And this is basically what this verse is teaching, that Satan has great influence over the ungodly. He blinds their minds and fills their heart with evil notions and desires. And when wickedness is seen in a land or in a life, it is a manifestation of the reality of the evil one. It is a manifestation of the authority and power of the devil. And you know what's sad? It's so sad whenever we get accustomed to evil and it no longer shocks or grieves us. There were times whenever certain sins wouldn't have been mentioned in public because you'd have been embarrassed to speak of them. Now they're mentioned without a thought. There are times whenever the wickedness of man would have caused us to tremble and go to God in prayer with our hearts breaking. But now we hear it in the news, we turn it off and we go on about our day. The wickedness of a nation at one time would have grieved us, but now it seems to be okay. You see, we see the agenda that Satan is pushing further and further and further. And part of that agenda is conditioning us not to be shocked by sin, but just to accept it. And how sad today that there are many, and they easily and gladly accept sin. Someone once said that the push is for us firstly to tolerate sin, and then that won't be enough. Then we'll have to accept sin, and then that won't be enough. We'll have to celebrate sin. And friend, we can see that happening in our land today in many different aspects. Oh, the big cry was we have to tolerate the sin and let it be and let it just accept that it's happening and then accept the sin being brought into law. And now there's a push on that we have to celebrate the sin. If you don't celebrate the sin, then if you're not standing, clapping and giving a big praise and push to wickedness and gross sin, then you're offending the sinner. And you seem to be standing in the wrong. And the word of God says, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil." The other thing I would say about the hold upon the sinner cannot overcome the power of the devil. You see, there is no one who is not marked by this sinful nature, because this is something we cannot overcome. There is no one who can cast off the hold of Satan. There's no one who can cast off the power of darkness, or that spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Maybe you've tried to reform your life. Maybe you've tried to clean up your life or to be religious, but you're so conscious that you can't. You're so aware that you still keep falling into sin, and you still keep, as it were, going back to the same bad old habits. You see, your sin is too great. Your guilt is crushing you. But praise the Lord, Christ has defeated the power of Satan. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord, there is one who is able to lift your burden, take away your guilt, to give you victory over Satan and sin. He is able. And while we are aware of the hold that Satan has on many, remember there's a greater one who can deliver every person who's under the authority of Satan at this time. Someone once said, you're not too dirty for God to cleanse. You're not too broken for God to fix. You're not too far for God to reach. You're not too guilty for God to forgive. You're not too worthless for God to forgive. Hymn writer said, he breaks the chains of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. And his blood, praise God, avails for me. His blood sets me free from the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. His blood sets me free from the prince of the power of the air. His blood sets me free from the course of this old world. And I would rather be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ than filled with the things of this world and sinning my soul into the pit of hell. You see, not only do we have the heart, and not only do we have the heritage, and not only do we have the hold, but turn with me very briefly to Matthew chapter 13, for here we have the harvest that faces the sinner. Matthew chapter 13, and we haven't time to read all of this, but you will know that whenever the men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And verse 26 of Matthew 13 says, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. The servants of the household came and said unto him, sirs, didst thou not sow good seed in my field? And from whence then hath it tares? And he said, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. But then we go to verse 36. And when Jesus sent the multitude away and went unto the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Exactly what we said tonight. That's the heritage, the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see, there's going to be a separation. And in many ways, physically speaking, we're not separated one from the other. We're gathering here together in this house. We're gathering online to come to the service of preaching. But there is coming a day when the Lord will reveal that separation. There's a separation. There is a division spiritually. There are those who are saved, represented by the wheat. And there are those who are of the devil, who are not yet saved, and they are represented by the tares. So there's coming a time of separation. But not only do we have a separation highlighted here, we have a destination. Because it says that he shall cast them, verse 42, into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is referenced here because the harvest the sinner faces is being gathered out of this world, cast into hell. And it may be that you do not see the end of this world. It may be in your time on this earth, the Lord will call your soul, and that will be the harvest for you. And the angels will take your soul and cast it into hell. If tonight the Lord should say, your time is through, your life has been lived, and you must die, where would be your destination? Would it be heaven because you're saved by the grace of God? Or friend, would it be hell because the heart is sinful? The heritage is sinful? The hold is sinful? And the harvest has come, and you're gathered with those who are sinful and cast into hell. I want to finish off with one final verse tonight, and I know our time's through, but please turn to John 3:16. I know everyone knows this verse, but I want us to read it tonight. I want us to look at these words, because we thought about the heart, and we thought about the heritage, and the hold, and the harvest. But praise God, tonight there's a hope for the sinner. The only hope for the sinner. And it says in John chapter 3, verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know what? The more I think about that, the more I think about people saying, "Oh, God loves me in my sin, and God loves me in my wicked lifestyle," friend, that is blasphemy. If that was the case, and there was no problem with sin, and there was no problem with all of these vices and all of this wickedness, the verse would have stopped at the end of the words, "For God so loved the world." But the fact is, the verse goes on, because the love of God does not allow him to sit back and smile as people send their way to hell. The love of God compelled him to send the dearest thing he had, his dear son, to die and suffer on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood, that sinners deserving of hell might be delivered, that their heart might be changed, their heritage might be renewed, the whole might be loosed, and praise God, in the harvest they're going home. Why? Because the hope of the sinner is Jesus Christ. You see, this is a perfect hope because it's based upon the work of Christ. It's not, "I'm trusting in the cross, but I have to be really good, or I have to be religious, or I have to do this." No, the only reason someone's in heaven is because of the finished work of Christ. Now, yes, when someone's saved, there's a difference in their life. We will know they're saved. We talked about that this morning. But not only is it a perfect hope, dear sinner, it's a personal hope. Because it says, "Whosoever." And I'm going to read this verse, and I'm going to put my name in. But you put your name in. And this can be your reality tonight. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Ryan McKee believeth in him, he should not perish but have everlasting life." Dear sinner, you put your name in there. That verse is for you tonight. And if you will come to Christ, and if you will call on the Lord and believe that he is the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch believed, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then praise the Lord tonight, you will be saved. Heaven will be your home. All that matters is salvation in this world or that to come. All that matters is salvation when the race of life is run. Never forget that story that I've heard, said maybe here before, but whenever Marilyn Monroe was recording a film in the United States, Billy Graham was in the same city. He heard she was there. He made inquiries to meet her, and as he met her, he simply told her about the Lord Jesus Christ, how she needed to be saved. And she listened to what he had to say in her dressing room. And as he finished simply presenting the gospel, she turned around to him and said, "I don't need you. And I don't need your Jesus." In the height of her fame and popularity, and within 1 week, she passed into God's eternity. Oh, we do need Jesus. We need the Savior. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, as you sit in this meeting, as you sit at home, wherever you would be, bow your head and ask the Lord to save you. Because God's description of the sinner tells of the problem of the heart and the end of the life. Praise God, there's one who can save. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I make myself available. If you'd like to speak to me, please make that known. And I would love to lead you to the Savior. But don't leave without Christ tonight. Our gracious Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel. This book reveals to us so clearly how we need a Saviour, how our hearts are going to condemn us, how that record of sin is before thee, how, O Lord, our heritage is of the devil and we're going to the place of the devil, how, Lord, the hold of the devil upon us, O Lord, is so great we cannot escape. We thank thee for the hope of the gospel. Thank you for one who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you for every believer in this meeting who's saved. And tonight, Lord, we pray you'll put upon our hearts those of our loved ones, our friends, our family who are not saved, that we will pray for them. Sincerely endeavor before God to pray for them until we see them won for Christ. Oh, Lord, unite our families in the Savior. Bless us as we go home tonight. For every Christian, give them great joy in their heart to know that it's well with my soul. But for those not saved tonight, Lord, will you please bring them to Christ? What has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish tonight. What has been of Christ, let it live on and prosper. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.